Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast here, and I have got an OG entrepreneur. This is a top five entrepreneur podcast, and I've got the original man, the entrepreneur himself, Mr. Grant Cardone. He owns Cardone University, Cardone Real Estate and Acquisitions, Cardone Capital. Grant Cardone TV Network. Cardone Capital has over 2.2 billion assets under management. He's a coach. He's an influencer. He's a public speaker. He's a motivator. He's a shaker. He's ready to rock and roll. How you doing, Grant?
Hey, Jason, great to be here, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, I'm super excited to dig in deep. So, you know, this is the True Underdog Podcast, and a lot of people that don't know you, I want to build this thing from the bottom up. I want them to get a picture of who you really are, where you came from, and how you built your fortune. I've seen your book. Some of my previous companies have used your 10X program. It's magnificent. But let's talk about Grant Cardone growing up in Louisiana and not having a pot to piss in. Let's go.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely underdog, man. So I really relate to your title of the podcast and felt like my whole life I've been an underdog. Even today, really feel still like, you know, you're dealing with some big companies. You go in these big groups. You're like, dude, I'm nobody here. Like my whole life, I felt more like a flea on a dog or a tick than the dog. And just, you know, from I lost my dad when I was 10 years old. My mother didn't know how to go out and get income, so she was in conservation mode. So, you know, my whole life I've just felt a little like, and it didn't help, by the way. I'm not trying to be a victim here, but it didn't help that I made a lot of poor decisions when I was coming up that didn't make me feel better about myself. You know, how you behave in accordance to your potential, only you know that. You know, you know, when I go to sleep at night, I know whether I'm doing what I could do, the coulda, woulda, shoulda. You know, the coulda, woulda, shoulda, man. Maybe if you coulda, you shoulda. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Everybody's got that simple little bullshit saying about, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda, everything. But the truth is, if I think I can do it, man, it haunts me if I don't do it. And it makes me feel like, it makes me feel less about myself. So I've suffered from that my whole life, including a drug problem for 10 years of my life that didn't help.
And the fact that you can talk about that and where you're at today is important because listeners and viewers out there are like, you know, Grant Cardone, and you're exploding. You've got over 10 million followers on everything. You're on CNBC. You're on Fox News. You have your own TV network. You have an undercover billionaire. You got a lot of cool things going on, empowering people and serving people. But they don't understand that. Like you said, you had this addiction. You had a broken family, some issues going on when you were growing up, and you didn't make that excuse. You made mistakes, but you learned from them.
Well, I just find every time I make, you know, every time I become a victim in anything, like I'm a victim. So nothing bad has ever happened to me. There's been stuff happened to me like it's terrible, bro. Like it's terrible, including undercover billionaire, by the way. That experience was awful, but I'm the one that agreed to go do it. I was beat up when I was 23 years old, had 70 stitches put in my head and face. I opened the door. I was the one that got around these bad guys. I agreed to the first meeting. So like, you know, I just find that I'm responsible for everything. And the more responsibility I assume, even if it's more than I really could have in a situation, I'm never going to hurt myself by assuming I can do more or take more responsibility. Something can be done about everything. And I had something to do with everything that's happened to me, including keeping me down in my own idea that I can't do more.
You know what I love about you is you're real, right? You say it how it is. You don't bullshit. You say it from your heart. There's no excuses. You're not sugarcoating it. A lot of people out there that become successful, they try to become something they're not. And what I love about you and your brand is you keep it real. Like you grew up tough. You grew up with some shit going on and you elaborate on that and you don't use that as an excuse. You use that as motivation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just experience. And if you don't have something bad happen to you, I mean, then you're not going to know what bad looks like. Right. So it's good to get that handled. Like I knew when I did Undercover Billionaire, I basically, for your audience, I spent 90 days in a place I'd never been. Can't use my name. Have no money. I have no shelter, no food, no water in the beginning. And I got to build a $1 million business in 90 days. And it was 15 degrees. I'd never been to Pueblo. The hardest part was I couldn't say my name's Grant Cardone. I had to take on another name. Dude, it was hard, bro. Like, but I knew that if I could pull it off, once I pulled it off, it would be something. Like, it's the victories, man. It's overcoming big obstacles that give people a real sense of confidence. Handouts don't make people feel good.
No, they don't. It's that addiction of success, of winning, right? You like to freaking win. That's the deal. Oh, that's what I love about you. You love to win, and winners like to be around winners who strive to be successful and to help others be successful. So you worked as a car salesman. You became a millionaire within the next 5 years and invested in real estate on the side. What was that like? And, you know, your first tenants left you, cash flow dried up. How did you overcome that?
Yeah, so first, let me just go back. I didn't become a millionaire selling cars. I sold cars and saw a problem in the industry with how they treat customers, and basically wrote for the auto industry another way to handle the customer, which was with transparency and speed, so that you didn't have to spend 4 hours buying a car, or 6 hours sometimes buying a car. You could actually go in, get your price, get your payment, get your down payment, see all the terms up front, and then decide on what car you wanted. So I'm the guy that's really responsible for changing the way automobiles were sold in this country. A lot of people don't know that. I parlayed the money out of that. I was doing big consulting contracts with Nissan, General Motors, Ford Motor Company. And I'd take the money from that and I'd buy apartments. My first deal was a single family home, rented to two sisters. I only owned the deal like 5 or 6 months. When they moved out, I'm like, okay, this doesn't work. Because now I was on the hook for the payment, and I didn't want to be on the hook for the payment. So I really spent some time studying other super successful real estate investors. And I studied them from a distance. It's not like I went and hung out with some successful real estate guy. I studied what they did their whole career. And I spent 3 years shopping real estate, thousands of properties that I went and shopped, looked at, financials. And I bought my first apartment deal when I was 31, maybe 32 years old. And that was about 10,000 apartments ago.
So you changed the way that people buy cars. I'm trying to fathom that, you know, how painful it is. And now that they can do it quick, you take sales process, because your company 10X is about, you know, really how to take it to the next level and 10X your business and your revenue and your sales process. And you've got killers that work for you. I've talked to some of them. I mean, those guys are next level sales guys, and they sell the dream and they're ready to go. That process, you also have created a scalability training program with your 10X. You basically scaled that, because I want the listeners to understand, to sell a car. Because you're right, it was like 50 things of paperwork, wait all day, you're here all day, the kids are running around. You scaled that to simplify it. That's game-changing. That's a big deal.
Well, look, wherever there's a problem, there's an opportunity. You know, so like anything that bothers you, this is how Uber was created. Velcro was created because of this. Like, wherever there's a problem, there's an opportunity. So if you are driven, I have always been financially driven since I was 10 years old, watched my mom suffer. I didn't want money because I wanted more. I wanted money so I could help the people around me that were terrified. So when you're 10 or 11 years old, dude, how much money do you need? A dollar? $5, $10?
To see the ice cream man, and that's it at 10 years old. I mean, that's all you're trying to get.
You're not thinking about becoming a billionaire. And why? All I wanted to do was help my mom out. And so all I've ever wanted money for was to solve the problems of the people around me, thinking it could solve the problem. And I don't know that it does solve the problem, but it does take some fear away, at least financial fear, right? Until you get more fear about money, like some of the things you're looking at right now, like, dude, like once the deals get big, you get scared again because you find out what you don't know, right?
How do you overcome that when there's things that you don't know? Because we're always learning every day. How do you deal with that?
Look, I got a deal. I'm getting ready to make a big announcement on this piece of paper right here. You can't see, but oh yeah, I guess you can. So, you know, we're getting ready to do something. I haven't done this before, so I'm going to call the guy and say, bro, I've never done this before. I know we want to do this. That doesn't hurt me, by the way. He needs me in this deal. I can make this thing work better than he can. So I'll get on the phone with him and say, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I know how to blow this thing up. But what happens if this and this and this happen? Like, we just got to work through it. I don't mind telling people I don't know something. And I don't ever tell a customer I don't know something.
No, the answer is always yes for the customer, right? We got this.
You know what? I think I can find that out for you right now. Hang on. I'm not going to act like I'm an idiot. You can't just keep saying, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Otherwise, people are not going to have trust in you. So, but I can't claim that I know something that I don't know. So it's like, great question. Let me get that information for you. Anything else you need to know? So in this case, me and this guy, this deal that I'm working on, we'll announce here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You know, we'll figure it out. Same thing with apartments, by the way. I'm doing a deal right now. It's a $235 million real estate purchase with a big group. So I get on the phone with the head guy. And I'm like, hey, look, I'm going to tell you what I don't know. What I don't know is going to keep me from buying this deal. Okay. And I want to buy the deal. I have the money. I have the funding. I have the debt. I have the willingness. I just need to know these couple of things so that me and you can make this transaction. He appreciates that. And it gives other people a chance to help you. And people like helping.
Yeah, they do. You're right. It reminds me when my company got to doing 40 or 50 million in revenue, I got nervous. I didn't know what EBITDA was 2.5 years ago. I didn't go to college. I didn't finish high school. I had a kid in my teens. So I didn't know what the hell EBITDA was. And I know I wanted to do a private equity, you know, minority transaction to open up and scale the business. And so I had to hire someone that knew that stuff. And they had to build a accounting team for me. You know, I built three companies, but they were cash basis. They weren't accrual or GAAP or any of that stuff that I just learned a couple years ago. So I can totally relate where it's, you got to be humble enough and have enough humility to say, hey, I need help here. I'm great at this, but you're good at that.
Look, and all these guys, if you study the most successful people on this planet, they're surrounded by people that like know everything. And those smarter people around them does not replace them. I think a lot of people miss that. Like, I can have other people around me that know stuff that I don't know. Doesn't mean they're smarter than me about everything. There's some reason I'm in this situation, right? The good and the bad of it, right? There's it's not all bad. It's like, okay, what do I bring to the table? Maybe it's not knowledge. Maybe it's the ability to actually act when there's a shortage of knowledge.
You can't be great at everything, and you got to know where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are to partner up. Or I always like to say the Avengers are more powerful than one superhero, right? You can have one leader of the Avengers, but you can't. You got to bring people talented around you. The 10X rule, which you coined, is the only difference between success and failure. Break that down for the underdogs to use it as a driving force in their career.
Well, so you guys, you underdogs out there, you know, the problem the underdog has is the think is too small. Your whole problem is, you know, the think is too small. You think you feel like an underdog. You got a chip on your shoulder. And you do have a chip on your shoulder because you think too small. And as long as you think small and go small, you're going to stay small. The 10X rule is about going big. It's easier to go bigger than it is to stay small. I'm telling you, everything gets easier. I know it's hard to believe, but I know today that a $1 billion deal is easier to do than a $5 million deal. The big deals are easier. And what happens is we're all brought up to think small. To think about, oh, take baby steps. You got to take baby steps. Running a one unit house is harder than 100 units. The reason it's harder, running a business with 5 employees is harder to run than a business with 500 employees. Because once you get to 500 employees, you're not running a business anymore. You got managers that are running a business. So you're not going to know that until you know it. Right? It's easier to do big stuff than it is little stuff. Unfortunately, we're all brought up to believe in taking little baby steps. Not even babies take baby steps. Babies run before they walk.
I never thought of it that way, but you're right. I've got 4 kids. You're absolutely right.
They're running into walls, man. Like they fall over and over and they finally figure it out, right? It's the parents that screw the kids up by saying, slow down, be careful, right? And the kids, particularly like 7, 8, 9 years old, they're skiing down the mountain, dude. They're careless and never hurt themselves. It is the parent that is careful and hurts themselves.
Boxing yourself in, limiting yourself to what you believe, which isn't true. There should be no box, no ceiling. Congratulations, you recently closed multi-creative deal with EXP. And this all started off with the invite-only app Clubhouse, which I love Clubhouse, by the way. Take us through how all this went down and what we should expect to see from the Powerhouse partnership.
Yeah, so EXP is a publicly traded company worth about $8 billion. I think that's what they're worth today. And, you know, the guy reached out to me and just said, man, I think you'd be a great ambassador for the company. You love real estate. You and I have a lot of things in common. You also hate real estate agents that don't have a lot of drive. And I'm like, they don't have a lot of drive, man, because it's a commission-based only business. If there's just a commission, you can only be so encouraged by a commission. The moment you start adding equity and teams, everything changes. EXP is going to become the Amazon of real estate agents. And I heard a guy say yesterday, what happens if Amazon gets in a real estate agency business? I said, oh, bro, it's already happening. EXP is Amazon of real estate, meaning you become an agent. You get a commission for a listings and or a sale. Plus, you build a team out that can become like the people that produce under you, very much like a network marketing company, can produce more than you are, but you're not buying vitamin products. And the third thing is you get equity in a company that has the leverage of the stock market. So I'm looking forward to this becoming a massive, massive company and something representing a true opportunity for the underdog. Because look, here's the deal. If the underdog never gets in the right vehicle, you're going to remain an underdog. You got to get in the right vehicle, man. At some point, you got to get on a train. You got to get on a plane. You got to jump on a car that's going someplace. It's got some. You got to get in a vehicle that's going to take you someplace from underdog to superdog.
So being an underdog, what's your favorite underdog movie?
Probably Braveheart.
I like Braveheart. Mine's Rocky IV, but Braveheart's a good one. It's an underdog movie.
Definitely an underdog movie.
So I saw this clip on YouTube not too long ago. I shared it with the sales team a couple years ago. It was your version of ABC, Always Be Closing. Was fucking great. Do you remember making that and how strong that was?
No. What was it? What am I saying on it?
You're talking about Always Be Closing and Coffees for Closers. You redid that whole skit on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
It was a while ago, but I shared it because you crushed it. It was just so motivating. We played it in the sales office for like 300 sales reps and they loved it.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, I have I love salespeople. I love the game of sales. Sales was the first thing that I got some traction for in my life. It was one of those things that I hated and I overcame it and got good at it because I studied it. And it was the first thing in my life where I'm like, wow, man, this is something I wasn't good at and I got good at it. And that really gave me, you know, when I think about salespeople, I'm like, man, anybody can become a good salesperson, you know, and the world needs good salespeople. I mean, really great salespeople are always going to be needed. And so I just have a big affinity for the whole profession. I don't love the guys that are amateurs. You know, I hate a bad salesman, but man, I love a great one.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, you know, imagine you were one of the listeners right now, Grant, and what are the three keys of success that you would give yourself as a hungry newbie entrepreneur tuning in?
So number one, I would look up the word entrepreneur. I would look up the definition. And it for yourself and understand that you're not an entrepreneur if you're not taking risk of resources. I don't mean, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm taking risks. No, I mean, you're risking resources. I think a lot of people think that they're entrepreneurs, but by definition, you're not if you're not risking more than normal amounts of resources, time, energy, and money. Number one. Number two is you gotta show up no matter what. I mean, the thing that's made me successful. Like this is, I show up when there's no chance I get anything out of it, over and over and over again, even today. So I've showed up in situations where the chances of me winning are like negligible. And so I would show up even if your eyes are bleeding. And number three, the third thing I would tell you is, you know, measure numbers, don't measure emotions. Don't spend a lot of time in your emotional intelligence, because most emotions are just complete lie. They're liars. They're like, I'm scared. Okay, so what? fear's always been there for me to get success. And like so fear's there so I can overcome fear for a second and just go fight it again. So I would just, you know, I think people today put
they're just overthinking it, putting emotion in every decision.
Yeah, they just put too much onus on how they feel about something as opposed to just doing it.
They're stuck in their feelings nowadays. I agree. They really are. It's hard to find good working people out there right now, too. Isn't it? I mean, entrepreneur running companies, it's hard to find some talented people in the world we live in because everybody's staying at home. So let me ask you this. You know, I'm speechless. I know the underdogs are taking heads seriously. They're going to love listening to this episode. What are your, because you've got kids, what is your three favorite vacation spots? Because you share a lot on social media, the places that you've gone and your success, which I think is important because then people could be like, wow, I want to do that. And you get them excited. Where are your top three vacation spots you've been?
Oh, man, we did 19 countries before COVID. Thailand was phenomenal. We had a private island in Thailand that was phenomenal. Cabo is one of my favorite places to go to because it's almost America. But it's a freaking crazy place and the weather's great. Australia's phenomenal, bro. Like, I mean, I got a long list. I don't have three places.
You got a bunch.
Marbella, Spain, phenomenal. I was in the Malta, south of Sicily, incredible, phenomenal. Like, been to London multiple times, loved it every time. The food in Sydney, Australia is the best vegetables I've ever had in my entire life and probably the best beef I've ever eaten. And I haven't even seen much of the world. There's a whole bunch of places, and you need money to go to these places.
And you got to follow the 10X rule, and you got to be hungry, and you can't be scared to bet on yourself, and you got to show up, all those things to do what you got to do to go to these places, right?
You need time and money, man.
Time and money. Well, bam, I'm speechless. Underdogs, take heed. Seriously, you aren't going to get a closer to the truth than this heavyweight right here. You know what time it is. Thanks for listening to the breathtaking episode with the OG, the legend, Grant Cardone. Man, I'm so freaking pumped. And hopefully I can come on one of your shows and talk more, but I appreciate you getting out here and talking to the underdogs. Bam.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Unleash the power.